There's 104 days of summer vacation till school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mommy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots or locating Frankenstein's brain. Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane. This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow will likely be a million and six times better. So make every minute count, jump in and seize the day. And let's make sure that in every single possible way, today is gonna be a great day. Crossing the tundra or building a roller coaster, skiing down a mountain of beans. Devising a system for remembering everything or synchronizing submarines. Racing chariots, taming tiger sharks, constructing a portal to Mars. Building a time machine, stretching a rubber tree or wailing away on guitars.
Oh, man.
This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow possible way. Today is gonna be a great day.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's put our heads together and design a master plan. We may miss dinner, but I know Mom will understand.
We've got our mission and suppliers, yogurt, gumballs, and desire.
Hello and welcome to episode 51, day 51 of the podcast organization without a cool acronym. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Sometimes I wish it would stop. It's going that well.
I've never had that happen. What is that like?
I don't know. It's just it's like the Energizer Bunny. You just want to put, you know, a giant anvil in front of him so he stops.
Thor's hammer. Why is this here? Why can't I move it? It's like a weekend on Pink Unicorn Island.
Oh, no. Well, Skull Island's too expensive.
That kid's having his bar mitzvah there anyway.
Who the hell would want to have a bar mitzvah at Skull Island? Oh, my God.
That would be totally metal. I would want to.
Yeah, it would be tough.
I would have my bar mitzvah at Skull Island, and I'd have guar play.
Oh, God.
Fill the skull with the sounds of guar.
Oh.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. And, this episode almost mimics, or the Doofenshmirtz plot with the Skull Island and the Unicorn Island and whatever, almost mimics. No, yeah, well, we'll get to that. But the two islands almost mimic the two giant robots from when they went to England in season one. With the Queen Elizabeth robot and the dragon robot, and Doofenshmirtz is sitting in the mouth of the dragon, and he sets the thing on fire.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. But, I mean, if you look at the two islands, he's like, I was gonna get that one, but it was too expensive, so I had to get this one, and I, you know, just kind of settled by default. And I could have sworn that was gonna be a My Little Pony reference with the Unicorn Island thing. If it was purple Unicorn Island thing, I could see it as Twilight Sparkle, but.
Okay, we're getting way out there.
Yeah, well, you know. That's a problem with. Yeah, that's a problem when you have an ex that is obsessed with My Little Pony more than you are. So.
Clearly not.
Yeah. So.
Back to Hawaiian Vacation.
Yes, Phineas and Ferb, Hawaiian Vacation.
Excuse me.
Hey, mister, have you seen a group of giant wet aqua primates running through here?
Elevator.
Thanks.
Hey!
You two are so busted!
Hold it right there, young lady. I'm the manager of this hotel, and if there's going to be any busting to do, I'm going to do it.
But... Wait a minute. I am on vacation. He is working. I pass the bus baton to you, sir. Aloha!
Come back here! Stop!
Stop right there, young man! What is the meaning of this?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Stop! Come back here!
Wow, for someone living in Hawaii, he's awfully stressed.
This I don't even get.
All right, Candace. You're finally doing it. Relaxing.
Come back here. Stop.
How are we going to round up the A-primes?
Hello? Room service?
Boys, I'm going to call your mother.
555-0142.
Hello, you've reached Linda Flynn Fletcher. And if this is Candace, I'm sure whatever the boys are doing is nothing.
Hun, Doc Goldberg and his old lady are trying to drop in on our way.
Oh, those crazy kooks. Are just an old school drop knee turn on the bottom, eh? Cut back up the face, through the suit, do a nice little tail slide, and drop into the green room for a bit of tube time.
You got all that on the internet, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I'm a single-celled organism. Now how am I gonna drive home?
Do boys order a giant flashlight from room service?
Yep.
You're in luck. We were just about to take that off the menu.
During a Hawaiian family vacation, Candace finds a cool lava rock necklace and is plagued with bad luck, so a native tells her she must take it to the top of the volcano, which spoils the cool, calm vibe she has learned. From a Hawaiian yoga instructor, Phineas and Ferb go with Candace, and along the way, they ride a few waves with pro surfer Laird Hamilton. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz is also at the same volcano, trying to make the population less intelligent with his de-evolutionator.
Okay. Laird Hamilton is a real person.
I assume so.
I'm just like, who's this random surfer guy?
He pops up
at least twice. I didn't realize. I don't follow surfing.
Yeah, he
I'm
pops
not a surfer
up.
Myself, yeah. Living in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Far, far away from any ocean.
Ocean? What ocean? Yes, Laird Hamilton as himself. So he is a real person. He is a real surfer. American big wave surfer, windsurfer, and occasional fashion and action sports model. Married to... Oh! He's married to Gabrielle Reese!
Okay.
She was that volleyball player.
I vaguely know who that is.
She was big in the 90s.
Oh, no wonder. Okay.
She's 47 now. Wow, she's old.
Oh, wow. 47.
In a row.
I recognize her. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember who that was. I was alive in the 90s.
Are you sure?
I love this. Gabrielle Reese, Laird Hamilton's wife. I mean, it's like we have to preface it with the fact that who she's married to, as if her own accomplishments don't count. It's like, come on, man, she's a volleyball star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so something about Hawaii.
Yes, they're on they're on a vacation from whatever jobs I don't know that they have, like outside of the antique store.
They're pro surfers on the side. I'm surprised they don't have an antique surfboard.
I'm surprised they don't have an antique steamroller surfboard. I mean, come on.
That would float like a lead balloon.
Yes. Yes, it would.
So I'm proud of Candace. She takes a short break from busting her brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So she can relax with her Serenity lotion.
Yeah, she totally needs that, like now.
Pineapple Serenity lotion.
Uh-huh.
Serenity now. I've never heard that before.
Insanity later.
Insanity later.
Serenity now. Insanity later. Yeah. That's, yeah.
It's the 159th episode of NBC sitcom Seinfeld. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
That's what it is.
I can't really quote Seinfeld. I don't know why that popped into my head. I just thought it was funny.
Everybody can quote Serenity Now, Insanity Later. If you can't.
I can't. I never liked Seinfeld. I'm one of the few, I guess.
Let me guess. You liked Friends more than Seinfeld.
Maybe I just didn't watch much TV in the 90s. Okay. I don't know.
That's a better answer than yes, I did. Because Friends is just horrible. I hate that show.
I never liked Friends either. I really liked Jennifer Aniston. I always thought she was pretty. She's still pretty, even though she's 47. Phil Lewis.
Yep.
Phil Lewis plays the hotel manager.
Yep.
Yeah. He was from the Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
Yes, he was. Actually, I completely forgot. We have a triple feature of Zach and Cody stars. Because,
really?
Yeah. So you got Phil Lewis as the hotel manager, which he was Mr. Mosby on Suite Life of Zach and Cody and later the Suite Life on Deck. You've got Caroline Ray, who was the boss for the rival hotel in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. And, you know, regular star, Candace Gertrude Flynn, voiced by Ashley Tisdale, who was in it's kind of where she got her debut on major television as Maddie the Candy Counter Girl in Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
There you go.
Yep.
It's like a little reunion, sort of.
Yep, pretty much.
I forgot how pretty Caroline Ray was. I was like, holy cow, she was really pretty. Like, this might have been a long time ago. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. Other things. Let's see here.
Oh, I got a preface with that. I was actually watching the video that you sent that had...
Oh, that had her,
Phil
yeah.
Lewis and Caroline Ray.
Yeah, in Suite Life, yeah.
So, anyhow. Phil Lewis gets to say, oh, hey, where's Perry?
Yep. They say, oh, hey, where's Perry a lot in this. And Phineas even points it out, not to be redundant, but where's Perry? I felt that, I know this is a two-parter, but it almost felt like two different episodes. Like the way they end the first part and start this, it just doesn't feel like it's too connected. Obviously the plots are and everything, but I just feel the flow is off.
They just happen to be in Hawaii with the same guest stars.
Yeah.
I mean, the second one is kind of like a direct ripoff of Brady Bunch episode.
Yeah. Kind of.
And that's kind of a letdown. I mean, honestly, I think I'd rather have a two-parter where each part flows together, like they have in the past, whereas this seems like two separate episodes, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, and they show the volcano multiple times in this two-parter. When the hell Did they have time to construct the escalator of doom?
I don't think that escalator was something Phineas and Ferb built. I think they built that with the restaurant that was on top of the volcano.
I understand that, but every time we saw the volcano up until the point of them climbing the mountain to get to the volcano, there was never an escalator until the guy that she ran into earlier and said, you know, most people just take the escalator. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
They didn't show that side of the mountain. That's what we're getting at. The dark side.
So just because they don't show a certain side of the mountain, they showed the mountain itself. Whether you're looking at the front side or the back side of the damn thing, you're still going to see the escalator on the side, whether it's the left side or the right side. That makes...
What if it's the back side?
Oh, God.
Were you looking at the back side?
That canvas is...
Do you find yourself staring at backsides?
No. No. Inuend, don't, damn it.
We're not actually going to talk about this episode, are we?
That Candace is back on the escalator again.
Oh, website designing sea monkeys.
No, just no.
No, website designing websites.
Oh my God, that's just.
I thought the I'm just going to call them sea monkeys, all right?
Just call them A-primes, because it's not like we can call them O-primes.
Did you ever have sea monkeys when you were little?
No.
Okay, so when I was little, all right, a long time ago, they had sea monkeys, and they're basically brine shrimp.
Yeah.
Like freeze-dried, and you dump them in water, and they hydrate, I guess is the right term.
Mm-hmm.
And they start swimming around, and it's like, that's amazing. There's these little shrimp inside. They look nothing like monkeys. They look nothing like sea monster monkeys, that's like they do on the package.
Mm-hmm.
And the A primes, in this episode are basically modeled after the sea monkeys on the package,
because like, mm-hmm.
you would buy them thinking you were gonna get little humanoids with gills, and that was never the case. It was very disappointing every time I did it. Because I had them a few times. They don't live very long. They don't really know what to feed brine shrimp. They kind of die after a little while. And you notice because the water stops moving. It's like, that's all you see. They're so small, you can barely tell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the ones in the cartoon here, I kind of thought they looked like Creature from the Black Lagoons.
Yeah.
Creatures from the Black Lagoon. There we go. That's better. Yeah.
Multicolored creatures from the Black Lagoon.
They had a lot of pride, yes.
I mean, that there was magenta, there was purple, there was blue, there was all kinds of colors. And then at the end, they got turned into humans? What the hell? Oh,
tourists, I know.
Yeah, that's even worse. Human tourists, that's...
tourists. What is that?
Oh, God.
I like that. He's, I can't call him hotel manager. I want to call him Phil Lewis. So Phil Lewis is on bus duty, and just as he's about to show Mom the tourists.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's not very nice.
That's not a nice thing they call them.
Yeah.
Giant wet aqua primates. I think he said slimy. Slimy was the word he used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I like this episode. I think it's fun outside of my little gripe about it not seeming, the two parts seeming to fit together too well. Candace and all of her bad luck. Is that, like, we've talked about this in 50...
We're jumping ahead here to part two, but I was going to say, as far as part one goes, we have a giant baby head appearance.
Yep, because it's a Scooby-Doo thing.
The Scooby-Doo in one door, out the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that a lot. And Doof turns into an amoeba.
Yeah, he turns into a single cell organism.
Which is odd, because he still has a face. You'd think he'd need more than one cell to make up a face.
And then he even says, it's a little weird that my underwear and socks evolved with me when he gets turned back. And I think that's just them poking at the whole thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
Censorship and all that.
Censorship. Well, you know, well, later on, he ends up in a loincloth that he made out of seaweed. My socks and undies are over there. They're not. They're no longer part of my body.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were, and he had to surgically remove them.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that. He is a doctor.
He did get his doctorate from evil scientist school.
No, so, he got it off the... He paid $15 and got it off the internet. That's where he got his doctorate from.
It's not really a... Not really a doctor. It's just a title that he got with his online reverendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this episode. I agree that it doesn't blend as well into the second episode.
Yeah.
But they have a good stopping point here, and I would give it a 4 by itself even.
Hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I give it a 3.5. I don't know.
For me, I remember sea monkeys sucking really bad, you know. I didn't have crack to give them. I mean growth elixir. I didn't have that. I couldn't hyper grow my sea monkeys with some growth elixir.
Well, we're just gonna put our pets in the pool. Is that against the rules? Let me check. No modern expressionism. No, you're good.
All of mine just went in the toilet.
I know.
Goodbye, tiny water ripples. Flush.
It's kind of like that episode of The Cosby Show where they have to flush Rudy's goldfish down the toilet and all she wants to do is watch TV.
Ooh, a good luck charm. With its own theme music.
Who could have guessed that my de-evolutionator would backfire on me? All right, put your pseudopods down. Hey, what's that? My de-evolutionator right here on the ocean floor. If it's still working, I could throw it into fast forward and evolvinate back into my former wickedness. Oh, it's a good thing I installed this molecular scale control panel. It seemed frivolous at the time, but I'm glad I did it. And...
It's strange that my underwear and socks evolved with me.
Aloha, bros.
Hey, Candace. Cool necklace. Where'd you get it?
Oh, you like it? It's my lucky charm. It was delivered to me by Tranquil Hawaiian Waves. What are you up to?
Well, we've done our share of terrain-based activities, so we're going to try some semi-aquatic endeavors.
Speaking of semi-aquatic, where's Perry?
Agent P, we still don't know the current whereabouts of Dr. Doofenshmirtz, but we're picking up a strange signal from the island of Whatalatahui. It could be emanating from the missing de-evolutionator. You'd better investigate. Good luck, Agent P. Carl, more ice.
Coming, sir.
With the de-evolutionator back in my hands, I can reverse the settings and I'll have the most highly evolved brain on Earth. Now that I'm so smart, I don't think this was such a good idea.
Oh, my precious little good luck charm. I'm so glad I found you. Whoa, whoa. Wow.
If this wasn't meant to be, someone give me a sign.
No.
Well, that's good enough for me. This single guy is out. Peace.
Oh, my gosh, I could have been killed. I'm so glad I had my lucky charm. You totally saved my life. Well, I guess that could have been a lot worse. But thanks to my lucky charm, I guess...
So part two...
Part two it is.
...ends up being, you know, Candace is bad, you know... All it takes is just one bad day.
over and over and over again.
That girl just is so unlucky.
Well, it's because she found the good luck charm.
And it's go ahead.
I was going to say, I have like vague memories of the Brady Bunch episode. Because, you know, in my younger days, there was only 5 channels. And everybody had already seen like every episode of Brady Bunch because that's all there was to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But on one of them, they all went to Hawaii, and I want to say, was it Greg?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it was Greg that got the unlucky tiki charm.
Well, and, you know, when you try to have relations with people you're not supposed to have relations with, that's, you know, the price you pay, I guess. Anyway.
What?
You know, Greg and Marcia.
Is that racist? What?
No. It's more incestual than anything else.
I get it. That kid was 18 years old.
It still doesn't matter. I mean, come on.
All right, we got to go to the island of Wadalawahui.
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 God.
And right over here, there's Come On, I Want to Lay Ya.
Yeah.
They didn't go there in that. This is a kid's show.
Thank God.
Carl and that Major Monogram were floating in the ocean toward Come On, I Want to Lay Ya. So
yeah.
You know all the action is.
Yep. So this is the first two-parter where Baljeet, Buford, or Isabella are not even here. They're gone.
Holy cow, I barely noticed.
Yep, not here at all.
That is a shame. But Laird Hamilton's here, so, you know, that's where all the budget went.
I guess.
I don't know who the hell he is. Is he expensive as a guest actor? I don't know. I would have been more excited if I heard like Tara Strong or something. Like, oh my god, it's Tara Strong!
Yep.
As opposed to some guy that I don't even know who it is. He's got this funny verbiage. Like, what did he just say?
It's surf talk.
Yeah. You heard that on the internet, didn't you?
No, I know. I've seen enough. I mean, haven't you ever seen Surf Ninjas? Come on now.
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen Surf Ninjas? What's wrong with you?
Isn't that directly related to the Three Ninjas?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
It has Leslie Nielsen as the bad guy. It has Lieutenant Frank Drebin as the evil villain in it.
That is ridiculous.
Yes.
Holy cow.
I'm trying to think what other things that have surfing in them.
Surfing USA?
Yeah, that's the Beach Boys.
Surfing.
I mean, technically 51st Dates, because Doug was a, you know, roided up surfer.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Doug, Lucy's brother, in 51st Dates?
No, that was the one with Drew Barrymore, right?
Drew Barrymore, Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I saw it. I don't remember it.
Oh my god.
Most Adam Sandler movies are kind of forgettable.
51st Dates wasn't that forgettable. Anything after that probably is. I mean, just look at half of his Netflix crap that he does now.
I don't. That's the
good
point.
Don't. That's yeah, that's the point. Don't.
So yeah, I don't surf. I don't know anything about surfing. Half this show is about surfing and quoting the internet. Much like Blanchard.
Hey, I wasn't quoting the internet. I was giving you information.
From the wiki.
Yeah, direct, no.
Word for word. No, there's a running joke in here where it's like, you read that on the internet.
Yeah.
He says, yes, I did. Cowabunga. So, I don't know. Everyone surfs to the island. Is it Wadalawahui? They surf to Wadalawahui?
Yeah.
And Candace, oh no, I can't believe I wrote that. Candace almost goes out like Steve Irwin.
Dude.
You remember Steve Irwin?
Yes, right? Too soon, come on.
Dude, that was like a decade ago. His daughter, who's like 5 when he died, she's got her own TV show now.
Well, she had that run on Dancing with the Stars, I mean.
No, that's not the same, no. Bindi's World or something where she.
I know, but I'm saying that. Yeah, I'm saying.
She's being stabbed in the chest with stingrays.
Oh, God.
Careful, kids. Dangerous stingray.
Yeah, huh?
Especially when it lands on your head.
I didn't even
stating the obvious. I didn't even stingray on your head, bro. Yeah. It's like, yeah, is that like the female version of bro? I'm not sure.
No, brah.
If somebody calls me bra, does that mean they're like dissing
no,
me?
It's
feminine. I don't understand.
No, not bra, brah, bra. It's surf lingo for bro or brother or things like that. I mean, you know.
Oh. Okay, sure.
I mean, if you really wanted a bro, you're going to have to talk to George's dad and Kramer.
See, now I recognize that despite the fact that I never watched Seinfeld.
Women have the bra, men have the bro.
The bro. to hold up your man boobs. Your moobs.
Oh, my God. Stop.
What?
Just stop.
I love this. Okay. So Doofenshmirtz uses the de-evolutionator on himself in reverse and gives himself this giant brain, right? He has this giant head.
Mm-hmm.
But then inexplicably, he shrinks his head back and turns into Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
From Shipwrecked. Not from Big. That's a different movie.
Yeah, no, that's a different movie.
What was that movie called? Shipwrecked? Shipwrecked.
No, you're thinking of Castaway with Wilson. With Wilson the volleyball. Right. Yeah.
That was a volleyball named after me.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's kind of frigging scary.
Tom Hanks makes an appearance. I thought that was clever. I don't know why. I was expecting the crabs worshipping the de-evolutionator to accidentally be evolutionized, kind of like this giant head, and they'd be giant crab people.
Yeah, the crabs went all Kubricky on them, though.
That was the best line. It went all Kubricky. You know, when you talk about like animation, like making jokes toward parents as opposed to the kids, you know, this is a really good example of that, because kids are not going to know what the hell Kubricky means.
Hmm.
It's just
fun. Yeah, that's obviously for the parents.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder, if the crabs did evolve, would they become tourists?
They'd become very crabby tourists, I guess.
Very crabby. They're always snapping at things.
Yes.
I just wanted to see giant crab people. I thought that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what else we got here? There's a song called Bad Luck.
Yep.
Where Candace, she demonstrates several things that would kill a normal person.
Yes.
I'm just watching this going, she should be dead.
Yes, she should be dead.
Why is she still alive? This is like, you know, the equivalent of having a piano drop on your head. It's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm a cartoon. Everything's cool. I don't think that's okay. I think you should be dead.
Toon dropped a piano on his head. I'll never forget those burning red eyes.
When I sounded like this!
When I killed your brother!
You know, it's funny. I may have told you the story already. When the boys and I, or when the family went to Disney, was it Disneyland? This is recently, so it might have been. It was Disneyland. They had a whole Toontown area.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys had no idea who the hell Roger Rabbit was.
You're a bad parent.
And we went on several Roger Rabbit rides. And the kids are like, I have no idea who this guy is. You know, this is I don't understand. So we watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit together.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, after the fact, she didn't know we watched it together. But she was like, I don't believe you let them watch that because, you know, it's Jessica Rabbit's boobs. You know, I mean, and there, again, there's a lot of this that was written toward adults.
Yeah.
And not toward children. But, I mean, it was basically every cartoon character ever at that point.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was no Cartoon Network. There was no, you know, 24-hour cartoons on any channel. So you only had a certain amount of cartoons to deal with, and most of them were from the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
But they were all in there. And I think my kids caught most of it. I think. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we rewatched this recently, and it still makes me giggle. Christopher Lloyd, man. I mean, honestly, that guy.
Doc Brown, man.
Just... he can do anything.
Absolutely. His mad scientist ways can run circles around Beekman. Ugh, God, I hate that guy.
Beekman. I like the giant rat guy. He always made me good.
Oh, God.
Agent W.
Agent W, yeah.
Agent W. Not the worm, but the whale.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, Agent C probably ate the other Agent W.
Agent C.
For chicken.
Agent C was a chicken. Do chickens eat worms?
I don't know. That's what it was doing in the episode where they were all sitting around the fire singing Kumbaya and the animal song. And the dog goes, and the cat goes, and the chicken goes. It was the one where they were going to have Norm join Nauka. And at the end of it, Major Monogram is like, Carl, we need to get rid of Norm. He's not an animal. Already on it, sir. I'm like, what the hell?
He's not an animal.
Yeah. So we got three songs here. We got Prime Calypso, we got Bad Luck, and we got the Agent W theme.
Agent, that's like one line. That's not even a verse. That's not.
Yeah.
It's just Agent W.
Yeah.
Boom. And you're done. That's it.
Yep.
Could have done that for him.
Pretty much. Which, have we run into the whole thing about Doof's ex? We already did the whale song episode, right? Where he's trying to insult the whales?
I think so.
Because of his ex, Elizabeth.
Oh, not his wife.
And, no. Just like not, girl no. No. Not, yes. Not Charlene, but the girl that he met online that dumped him for the whale, and she ended up living in the whale's stomach. The girl's name was Elizabeth.
Okay.
And... he gets eaten by Agent W here, and I'm like, why is that? Why is he not trying to woo this thing with whale song like he would, you know? Why is he not trying to insult this thing to get the whale to spit him out? Like, seriously. Continuity error.
He's had experience with this before, so.
Apparently, yeah. Oh boy, I like Hawaiian Vacation. I think it's a good episode. Part two is slightly more interesting than part one. I'll say part two is a little bit funnier because of Doof and the Doof plot. Because that's what I think they did here. They did something where part one was all about the A story, for the most part, with Candace and Phineas and Ferb, and the B story was mostly Doofenshmirtz and Perry and all that. Which is kind of strange that they did, unless I'm just, you know, assuming that's what they did. I don't know.
I don't know either, but no, we talked about how the stories didn't, like, flow into one another, but at the same time, they do. They're still in the same place. They're still, I mean, the de-evolutionator still plays a part in both stories.
Yeah.
In different ways, I guess, because in one he's using it as a weapon, and in the other he's shooting himself in the face. Randomly. But it's like, so we have these building blocks. What do we do with a completely different story?
I mean, it's not that the stories are completely different. The problem, like I said, I have is it's almost like part one is a hard stop. It has a small fade between end scene and beginning scene of the second part, but the events of the, like, they don't really leave it on a cliffhanger. They just kind of continue it without really giving anything in the middle there. That's really my only gripe about it. But both sides of the story, both parts are good. and they are enjoyable, and just having Phil Lewis back as Mr. Mosby of the Hawaiian, I'm just going to call it the Hawaiian Tipton, because, I mean, you might as well. it was just so fun. Young man, you get back here right now.
It works. I liked it. I think we've mentioned I wasn't a huge fan of the Suite Life.
Mm-hmm.
Either incarnation.
Yeah.
But, you know, some good things came out of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it because it just reminds me of a simpler time with comedies. And yes, I know it. You know, the Suite Life on of Zack and Cody and the Suite Life on Deck, they are Disney shows. They are kid type shows, but you know, you gotta laugh at yourself every now and then. And it just what freaks me out now though is both of the Sprouse twins, Dylan and Cole, stepped away for a while from acting after the end of the Suite Life on Deck. And Cole is now starring as Jughead in the CW's Riverdale.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I haven't watched that show.
It's on Netflix. Surprising. Yeah, it's on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's basically the CW version of Riverdale where they add like suspense and murder mystery type stuff to it. So they take the classic Archie characters and put them in this, you know, really teenagerish type setting, I guess you could say.
Right.
Of course, you know, it's just, you know, it's the CW. It's what they do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, teen angst. You gotta mix that in there. I'm trying to find pictures. Holy cow, that is him. He got tall.
Yeah, he did.
He got like really tall.
Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. So, what's the other one doing?
I don't know. Riverdale is on Netflix if you want to watch season one.
I don't particularly. Teen Angst is not my thing for the most part. So,
I'm just saying if you wanted to see him in a role other than what you didn't like him in before.
Well, I mean, I thought they went like the Olsen twins route where, you know, they did the show, and then they went to college, and then they were producing, and you know, maybe they had their own fragrance line or something, along those lines, you know. I didn't realize that one of them went back to acting, and the other one's like having an existential crisis because he's not doing that himself.
Dylan, the only thing he's got coming is something called Dismissed. He had a video game called Reborn this year earlier, but the only actual film is something called Dismissed. An idealistic straight-edge teacher is drawn down a horrid rabbit hole by an honor student who is willing to do anything for an A. Okay, then.
Wow. Alright. If it was an honor student, why would they have to do anything for an A?
Well, that's true.
As an honor student, I can tell you, A's come pretty easily. And you don't actually have to do, quote-unquote, anything for that A. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Yes. No?
I'm not even sure. But yeah, they both took about 7 years off. From 2011, or 6 years off from 2011 to this year.
Did it take that long to graduate college?
I don't know. They went. I'm just only looking at what's listed on them for IMDb as far as acting. I don't know if they did anything else other than that. So
he just took a little break until the money ran out, and it's like, whoop, off to the CW I go.
Wow.
All right,
I'm just saying. All right, Hawaiian Vacation. Yeah.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
I liked it. I didn't. You know, it wasn't like Chronicles of Meep. I liked it. You know, it's much better than your average episode.
Mm-hmm. I think the creepiest part of the episode, besides all of the stuff Doof got turned into with his de-evolutionator ray was the fact that Perry gave Mr. Fletcher the subliminal message to go to Hawaii on their family vacation in his litter box.
With his poop, yes. How did he make his poop look like
Hawaii? I don't even want to entertain that. No, hell no.
Was it like sculpted? Was
it his... Oh, stop it. Oh my god.
I forgot about that little tidbit. Thanks. I would have forgotten forever.
Sculpting Hawaii out of platypus poop.
He's like, this means something. This is important. This means something. It's like, no, stop.
Stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to platypus jail.
Like, hold on. I got to go out in the yard and get the rest of the poop.
And build
this structure. This is important. This means something.
God, no.
Oh, man. My preaching to the choir. Has nobody else seen this movie? I mean, I realize it's an old movie, but come on now. It's a classic.
Oh, God. So are we rating this part one and part two, or are we rating it overall?
I'm going to give it... Well, you know, honestly, I'd give... do I give the second part a four? Because it was sort of okay. I mean, like I said, I'm old enough to remember the Brady Bunch episode, and so I know this is pretty lazy writing. But yeah, wow. I'd be willing to give the whole thing a four.
Yeah, I'll give the whole thing a four. If I was gonna give the two individual things, it would probably be 3.5 each. Before we get the Furb out of here, we've always had commenters on the website. TJ comments on every episode with his thoughts on what he felt for the episode, and he gives us grades and things. Not us grades, but he gives the grades for, you know, what his episodes would be. But we had another listener, Jason, gave us his things. And the only reason why I'm bringing Jason's comment up is because at the very end of it is, since you asked and because I had a little too much free time, I counted a total of 17 OKs in the episode. Bob 6, Phineas 3, Doof 3, Tiana 2, Candace 2, and Lindana 1. So this was the episode for Candace's big day, and it was nice. Candace's big day. So there were 17 OKs in that episode, and I find that to be okay.
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 Wow, that was work well delegated.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm glad I didn't do that myself, but thank you for the effort.
You know, podcast money just doesn't fall out of the sky.
That's right. Here's our single unpaid intern. Got a job for you.
Well.
Yes, sir. And get me a margarita.
That guy's going to rue the day when that intern goes evil.
Evil intern. Oh, it makes me giggle. Stop.
Hey, it's not me. It's what they do. Oh, God.
That's what they do.
That's right. All right, folks. Tomorrow is day 52, the halfway point of the podcast, and we're going to be talking about Summer Belongs to You.
You realize that's like a movie, right?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just a regular episode, and I sat down to watch it, and I was like, wow, I'm going to be here forever.
Well, when you have, you know, Clay Aiken and Chaka Khan in the beginning part, you know we're only supposed to be here for the first 10 minutes, right? I don't even know what the hell Clay Aiken has done since the Summer Belongs to You episode.
I didn't know what he did before that.
He was on American Idol.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't watch that.
It's not well.
Was
that in the 90s? Wow, was that in really seriously, no. Mister? I grew up with oh Brady fuck Bunch. No.
Bunch reruns? Because that's what I grew up with.
No, Mister. I grew up with Star Search. No, American Star Idol. Search. Yeah, Star Search. Because they're singing competitions.
Maybe this isn't my cup of tea. I just don't watch these things.
American Idol started in 2001.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
Yeah,
I don't remember Star Search. I didn't watch that either. That's funny.
Okay, okay, fine. Dick Clark's American Bandstand.
I remember.
Okay, all right. Forget it. I'm out of here. Follow us on Twitter. He's at PeconCorpMichael. Educate him on musical television, people. I am at TFU and Mike. You can catch us next time, and we got to get the Furb out of here before I reach to this computer and just strangle the hell out of him. Didn't even bend a fender. I've had that stupid hot rod line in my head all day when he's laughing and didn't even bend a fender. I've had that line stuck in
fender. The fender bending of the fenders. All right, cool. Most people just take the escalator, you know.
That Candace is back on the escalator again.
Wow, that could have gone better.